Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Man, what a powerhouse guest and a perfect for you guys. Mike Vickers, listen to this. He was Under Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations, Low Intensity Conflict, and Interdependent Capabilities, service that spanned the George W. Bush and Obama administrations. He had a central role in developing our strategy and overseeing our campaigns to disrupt, dismantle, and defeat Al-Qaeda, and in the operation to kill Osama bin Laden. As a CIA operations officer during the 1980s, he was the program officer and principal strategist for the largest and most successful covert action program in CIA's history, enabling the Afghan resistance to drive the Soviets out of Afghanistan. He's a recipient of the Presidential National Security Medal, our nation's highest award in intelligence. He has a brand new book out, By All Means Available. And he joins us here on the National Defense. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing really well.
You know, I don't even know if I'm allowed to read everything I just read. I mean, what a fascinating career you've had, and you've been right in the middle of everything.
Well, thank you. It's very kind, but some things for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many places I'd like to start with this book, and I'm halfway through. And it's a fascinating, it's almost like a military manual. I mean, this thing is just, talks about everything that that you've gone through, all the different thought patterns and strategies. Let's start by the title, All Means Available. Tell folks what that means.
So the phrase came from at the time, top secret, very compartmented national security decision directive that President Reagan signed in March 1985 that changed our strategy in Afghanistan from imposing costs on the Soviets for their occupation to driving them out by all means available. And I liked the phrase at the time when I was a CIA officer, and I remembered it decades later when I wrote this memoir. And so that became the title of my book.
Yeah, and that could apply to any kind of military action, right?
Right. One of the things I try to show in the book is when we use the right ways and means in support of feasible ends, and the right amount of means, and when we didn't, and why it determines success or failure.
Yeah, and for people that don't know about this covert operation in the 1980s for driving the Soviet forces out of Afghanistan, if you look back to the movie Charlie Wilson's War, which that was kind of covered that period, right?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Highlights the central role of the late Congressman Charlie Wilson, but lots of characters, me included.
Yeah, and so when people read this book, Mike, what are they most surprised about?
Well, I think it will give them an insight into the world of secret operations, both military and CIA covert actions over the last four decades, and not just what happened, but how these operations were conducted and why, and with what results, why they succeeded at times beyond wildest expectations and didn't succeed in other cases. And so I think that's one of the main purposes of the book.
Yeah, a little bit of praise for this book from all the right people: Robert Gates, General Jim Mattis, Leon Panetta, James Clapper. I mean, what great praise it has from all of these folks. And you worked with all these folks. And just to give folks an idea of kind of where you were and where you went, you started, let's talk about your background a little bit, starting with the military.
Yeah, so I, after a year and a half of college, I realized my sports dreams were coming to an end to be a baseball or football player. And so I decided to enlist in the Green Berets or Army Special Forces with the intent on eventually completing my degree and becoming a CIA operations officer. And then I liked the Special Forces so much and was engaged in different things that I became a Special Forces officer and then eventually on to the CIA.
Yeah, eventually under the CIA, and then serving, under the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence before retiring in 2015. And, you know, some of these things that you discuss in the book in terms of your training and some of the things that that went awry, it just makes me so appreciate our military and how resourceful you have to be. You talk about several things. The parachute training, that was the parachute training behind enemy lines with a backup nuclear weapon.
Yeah, backpack. So
yeah,
during the Cold War, we had trained a few special operators, Green Berets and Navy SEALs, to use very small nuclear weapons to go behind Soviet lines in the event of a World War III, essentially, massive invasion of Europe, to try to halt the Soviet advance, because they had numerical superiority over us in Europe for the Cold War.
Yeah, and so
it was not the typical mission. A lot of special operations missions are very dangerous.
Sure.
This one was at the leading edge.
And you led the covert action strategy that drove the Soviets out of Afghanistan in the 80s. And I guess I was a little bit surprised to find out that's the only war the Soviets lost in their history.
Yeah, it's the only defeat of the Red Army in history. And, of course, came from the Afghan resistance with CIA support. So it's an interesting footnote to history.
Yeah, we're talking to Mike Vickers here on the National Defense, his memoir, By All Means, available. And how much of it, you've seen both sides of the coin now, Mike, in terms of operational and in terms of administration. How tied are we, how tied are our hands sometimes when the forces on the ground know what they need to do and they can't get the approval to do it?
Well, that's right. I mean, unfortunately, that does occur from time to time. Maybe not necessarily that way, but as I try to suggest in my book, sometimes because of poor policy choices, wars are lost. Secret wars or overt wars are lost in Washington more often than they are in the field.
Yeah, and so as a commander or as a special ops leader, that's got to be incredibly frustrating. Given where you are at the time, right?
Well, I mean, we have civilian control of the military and our elected political leadership. So you try to do the best you can. You know, you make the best military or intelligence case you can to our leadership, and then they make the decisions. And then you try to execute it as best you can. But yeah, sometimes you know something is not the right approach and not likely to succeed.
All right, let's talk about the strategy to go after Osama bin Laden. You were in the room.
I was.
I mean, tell us about that.
It was one of the greatest intelligence operations in history from 2001 to 2010, when we found him, or we believed we had found him at Abbottabad, Pakistan. And it was the most closely guarded secret in Washington at the time. There were only four of us in the Department of Defense initially read in on the operation: Secretary Bob Gates, myself, and then the chairman and vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And then in beginning of 2011, we started developing options from various airstrikes or special operations raids, had five meetings with President Obama. And then he made the decision to go forward with the Navy SEAL raid that was flawlessly executed and brought justice to Osama bin Laden. And it was one of the greatest experiences of my life.
Wow. Yeah, and, you know, from that vantage point, Mike, I'm sure it's easy to appreciate what kind of a weighty decision is on the President of the United States, right?
Yeah. So I had seen that several times in my career, when President Reagan made the decision to try to defeat the Soviets in Afghanistan rather than impose costs on them, when President Bush made the decision to surge forces in Iraq and then also to begin implementing a campaign that would lead us to dismantling and operationally defeating Al-Qaeda over several years, something that President Obama continued the same program from President Bush. So a good case of continuity in the administrations. And then President Obama's decision to send our SEALs in to kill or capture Osama bin Laden.
Incredible story. Incredible story. We're talking to Mike Vickers here, the National Defense's new memoir, By All Means Available. So, Mike, from what you've seen, your career and the different aspects of it, where do you think we are now in the world? Where do you see us as a superpower, and where do you see us, where do you see our weaknesses?
So great question, Randy. So one, I think we're in the most challenging national security period since the end of the Cold War, with this new Cold War that we're in with China and Russia. And of course, we have an ongoing conflict right now that matters enormously to Europe and the world, and with the Russian invasion of Ukraine and our support for the Ukrainians. That has implications not just for Ukraine and not just for Russia, but for Europe and for China and Asia as well, the outcome of that. So I certainly hope that the Russians are defeated there. And then in terms of our posture in the world, we're still the leading power in the world economically and militarily, but the Chinese have made great strides in recent decades and are challenging us in a variety of ways. And so it's important that we recognize this challenge, and a new generation of intelligence professionals, special operators and strategists, and our political leadership take up this challenge and win this long-term competition like we won the Cold War.
And, yeah, well said. And do you think that we have the right military leadership in place right now to where we can withstand the provocation from China and other countries?
Oh, I do. I think our military is the best in the world. And, you know, if you don't have the right leader from time to time, presidents aren't shy about finding the right one. But it will take more than that. It will take political leadership and the support of the American people.
I'm glad you said that, because we were just talking about World War II and how FDR brought the American people together and brought all the companies together. And that's so important to think about. Do you think we'll ever get back to a time and a spirit where every American can kind of put aside their philosophical differences and band together, kind of almost like we did after 9/11?
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope it doesn't take a 9/11 like event to
right.
bring it together. You know, we did, as you said, during World War II, we did from at the beginning of the Cold War and for most of the Cold War, and that's why we won those conflicts, both cold and hot. And I hope we can do it again.
And you know, Mike, you've also seen what can happen on these covert operations. Why can't we take out Putin? Why? I mean, I know there's not a simple answer for that, but can that happen?
Well, only if there were a general war. I mean, we since the 1970s, we've had a presidential order that has been sustained by successive presidents, barring political assassinations. If you're in a war, then, you know, it's a command and control target like everything else. But short of that, that ban is in place. That doesn't apply to terrorist leaders like Osama bin Laden. So Putin's fate will largely be up to the Russian people and his Russian political rivals and military and others. And that's about the most I think we can say.
Well, what a viewpoint you've had during your career, Mike, and what great book, the memoir By All Means Available. Thank you for your service throughout the years, and thank you so much for the time.
Well, thank you, Randy. It's a pleasure talking with you.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.